You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of the first epistle of John and in chapter 4. First epistle of John and chapter 4. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, again, we just pause. We've opened thy word. Spirit of God, help us understand. And then, our God, to come to grips with your presence and your ways and your thoughts are higher than the heavens. And all that you are and all that you do, way beyond all the galaxies, and yet right here. So thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps, in our looking at first epistle of John, remember that the point is that we're trying to help the believers near the before 100 AD, in the light of all the persecution, in the light of the apostasy that's happening, and to encourage them. And the danger was, between the Gnostics and others, the danger was that they'd be confused. What is it? What is this? They didn't have the Bible like you have it in your hand at that point. So, therefore, they needed personal and direct admonition and instruction. And so the Gospel John, the apostle, the last living apostle, gives us that epistle, 1 John, etc. To what? To be able to understand that you are wonderfully, wonderfully saved, and God has given you an awesome relationship to himself, and you're supposed to enjoy it. You're supposed to thank God that you know him and honor him in a world of darkness and death. That's what you're supposed to do. And all of it, everything, our old nature, the world system we live in, is against all of that in exercise of our relationship. So, here in 1 John again, remember God telling us in chapter 3, verse 23. This is his commandment, that we should believe on him, in the name of the Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now remember now, when we did all of that back then, yesterday or so, when we did that. So verse 23 helps us understand immediately. It isn't, here's the law and the judgments and ordinances, and here they are in the Old Testament. And we aren't supposed to try to line up and try to do them, memorize them and do each thing. And if we do each thing right, we get an A. If we don't, we flunk. So we got to practice each thing in each way to its fullest. And what? We can't do that. The flesh will never do that. But that's how we see the law and the Old Testament people do the works of the law. Now, but God, in his awesome communication always, in verse 23 tells us the law. How are we supposed to keep his commandments? Verse 23, chapter 3, this is commandment that we should believe on the name of the Son of God. Believe. How else are we going to keep his commandments? Love. That's what. Here's all the commandments. Thou shalt not. Summed up. Believe and love. Love, you know that. First four commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. The next tells us what? To love thy neighbor as thyself. By all these things, Matthew 22, come all these things, you fulfill the word of God. you fulfill it. It's a relationship. And it isn't something we do. That's what Israel's problem was. We're going to do it, but we can't do it. But they just didn't know it and didn't do well. So therefore, God is helping us, helping them. 1 John tells us we need to have a relationship. And therefore, you'll note verse 24, he that keepeth his commandments and dwelleth in him, and he in him, hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So what do we know? K-N-O-W. That's the word know, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. That isn't know. You got it. You know you're breathing. We aren't talking about that, no. We're talking about you learn and you keep learning and you keep knowing. That's the knowing. That's know. That's know. That's all the knows. So now, in verse 24, hereby we know. What do we know? He abideth in us. I'll go back up to the little words ahead of it. Dwelleth, he that keepeth the command, dwelleth in him. God dwelleth in the believer. Verse 24. God dwelleth in the believer. And he, the believer, is dwelling in God. Hereby we know that he abideth in us. The Spirit of God ministry is to make all of that very practical, profitable, and pleasing to God. So we got that no. And as we slide down, chapter 4, verse 2. Hereby we know. No, same no. Hereby we know. What do we know? The Spirit of God. We know the Spirit of God. How do we know the Spirit of God? Chapter 3, verse 24. The Spirit of God's making it all known to us. Chapter 4, verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So where do we know? We know the Lord, the Spirit of God, is there to help us know. We have a unique relationship, to say the least, of God. Wonderful relationship to God. So therefore, down to verse 6. And we are of God. And he that knoweth, there's your word again, knoweth God. God knows them. The heart knows God. God knows the heart. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we know. We know. We know. We're knowing. We're knowing. We're knowing. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would. So, hearing light. So we're to be children of light. Children of light, not of the darkness. So when we come to verse 5 and verse 6, remember, what's the test? The test is you can't see God, whatever. We're going to do that in a minute. You can't see. So how's the test? How are we going to go and not get tied up in all the world system, all the philosophies, all the religions, all the politics? Our old nature is there absorbing it one way or another. Here we are. How are we going to get through this? We have to have, and we got clarity. We can see the pulpit. We can see each other. We can see. What are we going to do when we can't see? We can't see it. We can't reach out and touch it and hold it. So we have to do what? By faith. That's what you have to do, by faith. And God has to help us in doing it. So the Spirit of God's going to go, and we have to have evidence. What evidence is there going to be? Well, God said, listen, what did we get? We read it up in verse 23 of chapter 3, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another as Christ gave us commandment. So how are we going to go? We're going to show and look for. What are we looking for? We're looking for God in the heart, our own heart, A, and B, the hearts of others. And we're looking for God's love. That's why we love. God loves us God's love? What's the evidence that we can point to? And thus you have verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, because we are saved by the same God in the same way. So when you look, what's the evidence we have? We can't see God, can't do it. What are we going to do? We're looking for God. How are we going to find God? We're going to find God's love. God's love. Why? Because we have God's love. And therefore, when you have God's love, I know you're on the same page, because you can't have the love of God without God. You can't do it without God. You got to have him. So there's no way to do it. That's the evidence. So how are we going to go? Which is the good guy and which is the bad guy? We're looking for God, the love of God. That's why I keep saying it. Hang on. Now, if I can, in the light of that, and put it together a little bit, you know it all anyway. So now, go over, if you would, to the Gospel of John, and in chapter 15. And in chapter 15, you will remember, what are we doing? We're looking out at the people around us, and we're finding evidence, confirmation that they're saved, we're saved. The love of God. So we don't hear from the wrong persons the wrong things in the wrong way. We want to do that. Now, so chapter 15, what do we know? I'll read verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. But, 19, if you were of the world would love his own, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So what the world loves, darkness. They love darkness. God's people that are saved don't love darkness. They're children of light. They aren't interested in darkness. They got saved out of darkness. Darkness doesn't have a lot of comfort. And you try, you know what, most of us, apart from situations, you don't want to sit in a dark room. Would you want to sit in your closet and shut the door? How comforting is that? It's dark. What do you love? What happens if the sun never shone, like up in the North Country and that? For every day, it never shines. Wow. Never see the sun. Wow. You love light. You love light. You're children of light. You love light to see. Again, see what? Here's the color chart. Here's the world around us. If we're in the dark and blinded by our unbelief, I can't see the color chart. I can't distinguish rightly. What helps me? When light comes in, I can see. I love light. Christ is the light of the world. And the light of the world became the light of my life when I received him as my Savior. Now, I'll take this out in case you can't hear. I can't hear you now. Now. And in the process, you don't have to turn there, John 3. Well, do it. You're right there in John, and keep you busy. John chapter 3, and you know it. Verse 19. 3 and 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now you know 1 John chapter 4, verse 5. You're going to know the bad guy, the people that love darkness. Listen to people. They listen to darkness. They don't listen to light. That's how you know the difference whether the messages coming at you are coming from God or are they coming from the system. So we don't get caught up in the system. It's there. We live in it. We go to the store. We do everything. But we aren't caught up in it. We stay in the light in a world of darkness. We don't want to get caught up in the darkness. And dark and unsaved, the unsaved life is dark. It's dark. It never gets light. Never gets light. Now, having said that, in the spirit of truth, the spirit of truth is the spirit of light. And God brings it and gives us truth. And without turning back there in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, how are we going to know the spirit of truth? By way of understanding the spirit of error. Darkness isn't light. Not too hard. Darkness isn't light. Error isn't right. Isn't right. Error isn't right. It's wrong. How are we going to know? We're going to know. By what? You're going to evidence you're looking for God. How are we going to look for God? God, how does God save you? By his love. That's how he saves you. We looked in Sinking Sunday School and all that we're doing there. God, his wonderful nature, essence, and being. How does he express God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, in his magnificence, loves. That's how you get saved, because God loves you. We're saved because God is loving us. That's the evidence. You're looking for that in other people, to know where people are saved and unsaved. You need to understand. And sometimes the enemy of the saved, the enemy for the saved, can be another believer who isn't believing. The believer needs to be believing and growing. Otherwise, they're your enemy. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, and I do this, and I think that. Well, that's wonderful. I just want to know. You need to be in the same page God is, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So now, looking for God to do and to be all that he is in the way that he is. So, now, and tying that together a little more to lock it in deep, do it. And that's why you read. That's why we read the verses. So you understand what God says here. Here's God. Here's God looking in time, timeless. Here's Genesis 1:1, the beginning. Here's Revelation 22, 21. Here we are, look, 22, 21. And here we are looking, and that is a little speck in the middle of God. A little bit of God like that. And God sees it all at once in God's wonderful way. But if I just take this verse, I have to understand that this thing is connected to God. The same God that said Genesis 1:1 is the same God, Genesis 22:20. I'm coming again. I'm coming. I begin in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. I'm coming. He said, so it's the same God. So when I read here, I'm talking about the same God everywhere. So when I read something, I read it here, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In Deuteronomy, we got that. I got that. But if I just read that and take it out, then that's not so good. I need to balance it. That's why you look at the verses. You want to understand love. You want to understand God. God has given us his word. So when he says in Deuteronomy or something, or Leviticus, he says it over here and makes it clear so that this is understood by the God who said everything. So I balance the truth. And we're going to do that with Reformed theology and stuff. You have to do what? What does it say? If you just take one verse, I'd say this, and they turn to this verse. But you already know what this verse says. You already know what it says. You already know what he is. So when you want to, what do you want to talk about? I know this, we know this, because I know what he says. God's consistent in being who he is and what he says. So you don't get confused. So that's why you go to the book. Not the books. The books are good and helpful, but they can't replace the book. So you go to the book. It's God's word. That's where the Spirit of God is, in God's word. So you go back to the book. And when you're all done, like the Bereans, what did God say? What does God say? Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Stay with what I said and learn from it. Then you can go, but stay with what I said. Now, that's just sidetracked. Now, having said that little bit, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The darkness is there, and we want to understand the darkness in the light of the light. 1 Corinthians, and you, so you kind of, what are the unsaved world, that children that walk in darkness that are unsaved? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So when we read, and you can keep going, verse 20, where is the wise, where is the scribe, where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Preaching in the cross, they don't even understand the cross. Sliding over to chapter 2, and you'll see it again. Chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man receiveth N-O-T, receiveth N-O-T, not. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And as long as you're blind, spiritually blind, you're not going to be able to see. You need to get out of the darkness into the light to see. And verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world. No, we came to know the Lord as our Savior, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So we under a relationship, we need to practice the relationship, and the world loves darkness, and they are not going to, like we shared earlier, casting your pearls before swine. They aren't interested in all these things. They're foolishness. It's silly. Now, having said that a little bit, and so John 3:16, God so loved the world again as we shared. Now, in the light of that, back over to the Gospel of John. Well, you don't have to do that. Over to the Gospel of John chapter 1 and in verse 14. What do you know? The Word of God, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God the Son, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We can't see God. No, you can't see him. You can't see him at all. So therefore, God, what are we going to do? We can't see him. Can't touch you? No. How are you going to see God? And we mentioned the other day, here's the James Webb telescope out there, out in space. They're taking pictures all day long, and they're bringing us all this new stuff, and using the formula that they do, and density and all that, doing it. And they said, we read it, showed it to you. The problem is, we know at least there's between 10 trillion and 100 trillion galaxies. I didn't say stars. Galaxies. That's what we know. That's what we know. That's pretty good. I don't know how you count them. You give somebody a job to count them. And all of that is just this little speck in God. God. Here's the galaxies. 10, 100 trillion make believe. And here we are on a little planet Earth spinning around in our galaxy. Here we are. Here we are. Now God, how are you going to see God? That's my question to you. I want you to know and tell me, how are you going to see God? He's beyond all, beyond. How are you going to see the galaxies, let alone God? How are you going to see him? But you can't see him. That's what he's trying to tell you. He said, don't you understand I'm God? You're trying to make it beyond. I made you in my image and likeness to know me, but you can't see me. Go over with me, John chapter 5. It's a wonderful thing. He's God. Chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The word became flesh. He took on a human body like us. To show what? God. How are you going to say God? Well, we can't see God. That's the trouble. Because we can't see him. Ah, are you God? You are God. Absolutely, we're in your presence. We can't get out of it. No, that's right. So in the midst of it all, what are we going to do, God? You're going to go and help us understand that you have given us the scriptures to understand Jesus Christ. Understanding Jesus Christ, you understand what 1 John, what you've been doing in 1 John chapter 3, etc. Do you understand? Jesus Christ is God. And we've been saying, it says it. So what do we need to understand? When you receive Christ as your Savior, you received God. We're in the presence of God, and God gives you a unique relationship to himself in a most wonderful way. Before I do that, over to Jeremiah. And to Jeremiah, picking up, if I may, chapter 23. Jeremiah 23, may I go? Pick it up. I'll read verse 23. 23, Jeremiah. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Question. Verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him. You're not going to see him. Not that way, because we're looking at what we're going to see him in a different way. Over, if you would, to Psalm 113. And you'll see it again. Psalm 113, picking up, if I may, verse 4. 113 and verse 4. Lord, 113, Psalm, verse 4. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord, our God? Who dwelleth on high? Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and that are in the earth? He humbles himself down to the trillions of galaxies to make himself known. He put us before any stars were made, before any of these galaxies were made. He had hung earth in space. He hung it out there. And then he decorated it with trillions of stars. That's what he did. He decorated it. Yeah. Why? And then God's going to show that that's the wonderment of God. Do you know, God could make a brontosaurus, rhinoceros, a dinosaur. Those are big. These are big. They're too big to be house pets. You got the idea. Now the process. What are we going to do with the big things? The big things. Stars, galaxies. And then he goes and makes little bacteria and little bugs. You can't even see them. And running around in your eyebrow and you don't even know it. Wow. Wow. Now, that's the wonderment of God, who's outside it all. That's his magnificence. He can take a little bacteria. Who can take it? God can take it. That's awesome. You have to appreciate God. It's an awesome thing about God. Yeah, can't see him? No, you can't. But in the process, you'll know God's wonderful, wonderful saving grace. Now, so in the process of God keeping us in all of these things, as we read in Jeremiah, etc., so God tells us of flesh is flesh and blood. Now, well, back over if I can. You got the idea. You're not going to explain it. You're not going to explain it. In fact, God told Moses who wanted to see his glory, let alone anybody else, no man can see me and live. No one. You cannot see me. John chapter 5. Picking up in John 5. In the process. If I can. No man has seen me. But picking it up, John 5? John 17. John chapter 17. Oh, well. Yeah. Leave John 17 over here for a moment and back to John 5 where you were. I'll do that first. John chapter 5, as you know, our Lord, chapter 5, Gospel of John, sliding down to verse 37. And the Father humbleth himself, which hath sent me, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You'll never see it. You can. It's impossible. As we see it from our human standpoint, we'd have to be in another realm to comprehend immensity. We can understand. I can get a ruler. This is right here, a ruler. And I can have a ruler that's so long. I can measure that and see it. But if I want to understand infinite, there is no, I don't have hands, I can't do it. It's infinite. How do I understand infinity? How do I grab that? You don't. It's there. Just awesome. God's awesome. That's what you want to understand. God is very, very awesome. And we don't appreciate how awesome he is. And that's why you begin to listen to him. And God said, listen, the world loves darkness as if I didn't exist, but I do. I died on the cross to save them. What are you going to do, God? You're going to take little whosoever's like us, and you're going to go and save us because you love us. You're loving us to be saved. And when we understand that, we understand why we're saved, and we understand you want all of them, people, to be saved. And therefore, you're going to know the difference. I want you to evidence and understand life. I don't want you to get deceived by darkness. So therefore, look for love. Look for God. Look for God's presence out there. And if you don't see God's presence, it's darkness. Just relax and do the best you can with everything. But trust God. You walk in the light as children are in the light. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, Christ, the light of the world, became the light of your life in a most wonderful way. And he did this, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 4, verse 7, and he did it in vessels of dust. So the whole glory, the whole wonderment, God, you could blow everyone away in a moment, but you don't. How are you doing it to us humans? You're taking whosoever's and giving them light. They walk in among the children of darkness. They once were darkness, but now they're light, and they walk as children of light. And they love. They're being loved. They're saved. Saved. You can't be saved without the love of God. God saves you. That's why you love one another. Because God saved you. And what you're showing is the love of God. That's the evidence. The evidence. You're looking for evidence. You're saved. I know dear people. You do too. People. They're dear people. They're dear. But I have no idea they're really saved. I don't know they're saved. No, I don't. I don't. Whatever. They can be, but I don't know it. So I don't get too involved. I don't get too involved. No. I don't find God. If I don't find God, I take it easy. Take it easy. Now, so therefore, in God's wonderful kindness and in his wonderful way, John chapter 14. In fact, we'll go to John chapter 17 for time's sake. I started to go there. John chapter 17. And what do you know? To say it again, all over again. John chapter 17 and his prayer, which you read. I'm going to start in verse 13. 17, 13, John. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, for that purpose, they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Why? Because they are not of the world. That's the whole point. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. That's what he's trying to tell you. Same thing. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one. That's what I pray, that you would keep them from the evil one. They, verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Therefore, the world hates them, loves darkness, hates the children of light. It hates God. It hates God who gives light to understand who he is, but we don't want to understand who he is. We're going to build a Buddha, or we're going to build an idol out of our own head and heart, take a tree, going to cut it down, firewood, we're going to have all kinds of things, and we're also going to make an idol out of it. We're going to make the idol out, and then we're going to all bow down and worship it. We're all going to bow down and worship it. Jeremiah chapter 10. We're all going to bow down and worship it. And God, we choose that. You choose what? You choose to worship your religious system, your idol, your pantheism and all the other stuff, Mormonism. Yeah, that's what I choose. And in the light of God's awesomeness, how silly that is. That's why Jeremiah was saying that. Stupid, stupid things you do. Stupid. You should have never done that. You missed the whole You made a fool of yourself in thinking the preaching of the cross is foolishness. You have made a fool, Romans chapter 1, 20, 23. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You should. You say, well, I can't say you're God. Ah, because he is God. Otherwise, he isn't God. He isn't God. It isn't like Zeus or something, Greek mythology in that. You have other gods up there. I get two big volumes from way back in Britannica and all that on just that subject, just Greek mythology. Wow. And Minerva and all the different gods they take. Them by, anyway, you don't care. All that stuff. Wonderful. It's all, yeah. But God, that's all we can do is have mythology and make things like we think we'd like them to be. But they really aren't. No. No, you are awesome, God, in what you've done and how you've done it. Therefore, 17 and 21, that, what are we doing? That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that purpose they also may be one in us. In other words, God, in Christ, in your heart, in the flesh, that's what God's doing. And God's going in what? He's taking us, whosoever's, that receive him as our Savior. And if all they're going to world going to work, homeschool, play, they're only going to see our flesh. That's what they're going to see. They don't understand that we have a unique relationship to God because he loves us. He loved us. He saves us. And we have it. And that's what we're to show the world. So in your heart, what are we doing? We're not getting caught up in the system in the wrong way. We're looking to God and God's people, and we're looking to... That's why we assemble together on the Lord's Day. To what? To show God's love. We love God. Love, 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 love God. God saves us. And God, we're in your presence. We're all there to be saved, in your safe in your wonderful presence. Now, having said that, and that's why verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Why? That they may be one, even as we are one. We aren't talking, we're talking oneness. Oneness, oneness, one God. So when you get saved, Christ in you, you first think of 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, 3 and 23 and 24. You're going to know that God is in you and you are in God. That's what you're supposed to understand. God is in you and you are in God. Do you understand that? That's the argument. That's what God's trying to get across, because the world doesn't see that. But you need to show it. You need to show the love of God. What do I mean? God, be saved. Believe and be saved. And when you see, you're looking for that. You're looking for, so when I'm listening and watching, I'm looking for God. Looking for God's awesome presence. And that's what we're doing. So God, as we do that, therefore, verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect, one, complete, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me as thou hast sent them and as thou hast loved me. Now, what's the whole subject? I'll read the end of verse 23. That the world may know that thou hast sent me. God so loved the world that he died and went to the cross. And... verse 23, and hath loved them, them. So all of us believers have the same life, the same God, the same love, which thou hast loved me. So as God's loving me, God's loving you. That's what makes us one. Same God, same love. Show them the love of God. Why? That's what he's doing. God so loved the world, he died to save us. Show the love of God. That's your evidence. To show the love of God. They can't going to see you. They're just going to see what? That God saves you in his most wonderful wonderful way. And God does what he does, as only he can do, in his most wonderful way. Now, in order to do that in a second, over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy and chapter 6. And if I may, God's wonderful person. Now, what do you, the old, remember what we read? 1 John chapter 3, 22, 23, the commandments. Do this, do this, do this. No, you need to understand, how am I going to enjoy God? Back in the Old Testament, what did you mean? I wanted them to enjoy a unique relationship to God. They chose to use, we'll do it, the law. But they can't do the law. So therefore, all they can say is, I'll do it, but they can't do it. So what do you want to do? What were they told to do? Like in 1 John 3 again, believe and love me. That's what I want you to do. What did you want Israel to do after the Exodus? Chapter 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel. 6, 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt not work, thou shalt love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Thou shalt love him, not serve him in work. He didn't ask for slaves. He uses the word rightly for us, but he isn't talking about that. He's talking about your relationship to God. That's what he's talking about. That they missed it. That's why the Jews are still where they are today. They just missed it. They didn't catch it. The law points to the love of God. The love of God points to the law of God. The love and law of God point to the life of God. And they missed it. They missed it. All I want you to do is love me with all your heart. What do you mean? Enjoy being saved. How's that? How simple do you want it? God saves us because he loves us. And he wants us to be enjoy his wonderful person in a unique oneness in Christ. Christ in us and us in Christ. That's what he wants. Simple oneness. Believe and love me. And the world will know. If they want to. Otherwise, it's foolishness and stupidness, you see. But that's all right. I leave him that way, because that's the only sign I'm going to give him, as you know, for 4,000 times, is the sign of the prophet Jonah. A risen Christ, an empty cross, an empty tomb, and you can't see where he is because you won't believe. You have to believe. You have to believe. Yeah. Anyway, are you getting there? To understand, we didn't get there. The love of God, the law of God. It's a relationship, and you have to do it. That's how you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You have to know. Different. Different, yeah. God's awesome. You never know it most of the time, but he is. And you want to understand that. And wonderfully, David, you said it. We can't get out of your presence. No. We don't want to be, and we can never be out of your presence. Wherever I am, you is. Wherever we are, you're there. Yeah. Who's there? You're there. You're there. And do it quietly. Let that sink in. And be still and know that I am God. And you'll know it. Know it. no noise. God speaks so loud in his silence. Wow. By this shall all men know that you love me, that you're saved. Yeah. Be enjoying being saved and you'll be loving. Does that come out all right? Enjoy being saved and you'll be loving. That's what you're going to do. You can't be saved and enjoy it without just being loving. Being forgiven. No, better quit. It isn't snowing yet, so I'll be of good cheer. And who knows? When the low up on the map, I remember saying it, here's the low coming up the coast. Low. Barometer, the barometer. And here's the low up here. Now, if this low up here stays, then this will go out and miss us. I'm not a weatherman. I just use my little common sense, the little bit I know, which is not much. Now, so here's what I think when I saw that. Here's the low up here. Now, the minute the weatherman said, this low is coming down to get this low, I said, uh-oh, because this low is going this way, and here comes this low, and they're going to, like this. This low has to move because this low is pulling, do you understand? So it pulls right over here, Hartford. You got it? That's my weather report. What can I tell you? Got the idea. Our Father in God, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for your presence, God. Yeah, we want to get blown away with it. We want to let it sink into our little heads and hearts. Thou art above and beyond all that we can ask or think. And all that we ask or think, God, we're going to find that you never stop thinking about us. That your thoughts to us, about us, here and now, are more than the sand of the sea. And that, God, that we can't even handle, God. How could you possibly think about little old us more than the sand of the sea? God. Yeah. In Christ's name, amen.